Good to have you all here this morning. Good to be worshiping together. How many know God is good?
All the time.
God is good. I believe it. I'm convinced. Are you convinced?
Yeah.
Turn to each other and say, I'm convinced. Amen.
And welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back. Would you turn to the book of Nehemiah, please, from the Old Testament. The book of Nehemiah. I'm going to be reading a couple of scriptures from Nehemiah chapter 2 and then some scriptures from Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 2 and Nehemiah chapter 4. But before we get there, I've done this before. I thought this was appropriate. You know, when it became fall, we had the most gorgeous summer and even fall around here that we've had in 14 years. How many know winter is upon us? So what's the best sunblock you've got? Here, try this. What is it? Directions to Seattle. Sometimes we get a little discouraged with our gray and rainy days. But, you know, it's gorgeous out there today, too. It was just beautiful this morning. So that's what helps make us green, right? Nehemiah. Nehemiah in the Old Testament. After the Kings and the Chronicles and Samuel and the history books, you have Ezra and then you have Nehemiah. The morning's message is called Build Your Walls. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about don't put walls up. This is different. This is called Build Your Walls this morning. When Jerusalem was broken down and carried into captivity so many centuries ago, it followed decades and hundreds of years, if you will, of God attempting to turn the people of God back to Himself and back to holiness. They worshipped other gods. They insisted on worshipping other gods. And God would allow enemies to defeat them. And they would then cry out to God under the miserable domination by certain enemies. And then they would cry out and God would graciously answer them and strike them again and give them a new beginning. They'd be restored. And then a little while later, what would you see? Return to the old behaviors. Anybody in this room taken more than one trip around a mountain? You know, we talked about it from time to time in high school when you'd run laps, you know, and you'd do something wrong for your PE teacher or sports. What would they say? Take another lap. Take another lap. And sometimes that's how it is or seems in our lives. We keep having to take these laps around the same old mountains. And one of the things that would happen when judgment would fall, if you recall your history in the Old Testament, is that the enemy, as a consequence of judgment, would steal their provisions, especially in the temple, the gold and the silver. And then what would they do to the walls? Do you remember? They'd tear down parts of the walls. And another major section of the wall would come down. It's all so powerful and so meaningful because it destroyed their identity. It destroyed their security. It destroyed their protection, the sense of who they were. You couldn't have a city in the Old Testament without secure walls. There were marauding bands of thieves and bandits. And so your walls are, say it with me, please, crucial. That means, that word comes from the cross. Your walls that you have in your spiritual life are crucial. Say it with me. Your walls are crucial. So, we have times of restoration. After they go into Babylon in 586 BC, etc., we have Ezra returns and he rebuilds the temple because it was destroyed in judgment. Years later, after Ezra's return, Zerubbabel came back first. Try to say that real quick. Zerubbabel came back first, brought people with him. And then Ezra comes back. And 13 years after Ezra has returned to bring revival to the people of God and teach them, and there's a rebuilt temple, there still are no walls. So the beginning of the chapter of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, we have Nehemiah being a servant to the king of Babylon. And he's downcast because he's heard a report that the walls are broken down and they still aren't built. And the people of God still aren't strong in Israel. They're not the way they should be. They're not as strong as they should be. So basically, he has a shepherd's heart, if you will, and he's grieved for the people of God. He's grieved for his homeland. And the king notices. Now, the big thing about this, if you're not familiar with your history on this, the king, if you served before the king of Babylon and you were downcast and brought attention to yourself, they could take your head from you. It was a thing where you were distracting from the king and his purposes, and it was a terrible offense. And so when you see this in the first part of Nehemiah, the king says, why are you discouraged? And why are you downcast? This is nothing more than discouragement. And you see Nehemiah's conflict where he says, and I prayed quick. Anybody ever pray quick? Yeah. Ever have a boss look at you and say, why did you do that? You pray quick. And so what happens? You go and you say to yourself, well, okay, something is wrong here, but what do I say? And he quickly answers, because in Jerusalem, the city walls are still broken down. My nation is in defeat. And in this time, instead of the king saying, off with your head, he says, so what do you want to do about it? Don't you realize, like I have to realize, sometimes God is saying, okay, what are you going to do about it? What do you want to do? It's one thing to have a burden. It's another thing to have a tangible plan to help someone or strengthen someone or get up and serve yourself. What are you going to do about it? It's not just the pastors. It's not just the elders. It's not just somebody else. We all have a place of vital ministry in the body of Christ. So he says, what are you going to do about it? And he goes, give me release to go back and build the city walls. Give me release to go back. And basically he becomes the governor of the people who had returned 13 years earlier, 50 years earlier, etc. So he quickly becomes the leader for the little band of people that have returned to Israel. So God led Nehemiah to work on the walls in just the same way that he led Ezra to work on the temple. Now, just hang in here with me as we describe culturally what this meant. Because the temple was vital to the heartbeat of the people. The heartbeat of the country, the presence of God, was wrapped up in their temple. That meant God was among them. But without walls, it wasn't complete. So the temple and the walls went together. No walls, no city, no temple. No temple, don't even need walls. So the heartbeat of God that flowed in these people, it comes together with the temple and the walls. Without a wall, no city in the ancient Near East was safe from bandits, gangs, wild animals. They could come in at will. They could kill your children. They could steal your livestock. You would have no standing economically and culturally, no matter how nicely developed a city was. If there were no walls to protect them, there was no need to even continue as a city. It was that desperate and that important. The temple had the richest decorations. You see the Old Testament, and the people gave and gave and gave, and there was gold, and there was silver, and there was cedar, and there were all sorts of provisions, but without a wall of protection, those provisions were subject to being stolen, right and left. No temple meant, again, no presence of God. No presence of God means no military strength, no justice, no civilization, no need for walls. Remember what else took place? So I'm combining them all together, going back and forth a little, but remember, what did they do at the city gates? They held court, brought lawsuits, and they held disputes and answered disputes, and the government was flowing out of the temple, but it was in the city gates the leaders would gather, and it was a place where there was identity and protection, all of those meaningful things. All right, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to show you some simple steps that we see about the restoration of these walls, but what happens. And I want you most of all to see it not as a history lesson, but as something deeply spiritual. How many know when you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Who's the center of your temple? Jesus is. He's sitting on the throne in the temple of your heart. So spiritually, you're quickened, you're saved by grace, and your temple has been established with Jesus in the throne room, right? So we're saved by grace. There's nothing to add to that work. It's what he did. We accept him by faith. But then how many of you realize, and of course you do, that our walk with the Lord is something we cooperate with him in? Because he doesn't leave us as we were. He continues to change us. Right? Look at each other and say, you got to keep changing. No, that's right. But we do keep changing. You know, I'm not the same guy I was last year. Hopefully, I'm not the same guy I was 5 years ago. And hopefully, you aren't the same person. You're more conformed to being like Jesus. And so that flash anger that you might have had, that's something of the past. Because now you minister with the grace of God. And those attitudes that might have flared up, you've repented of those. And you've asked the Lord to forgive you and put his heart within you. So there's a building, if you will, as we are conformed to his image, there's a building of the walls around our lives. Because God wants us to put up walls to keep the devil out. Somebody say, let's keep the devil out. And we build a church and we stand together and we encourage each other and we do warfare. We have our identity as the people of God and we don't let the devil run over us because we have no walls. We have walls of strength by the Spirit of God. The Word of God, we study it and puts up strong walls and you keep building and keep doing what God wants you to do and the walls get stronger and stronger and stronger. How many got a great set of walls here this morning? Okay, if you don't, you need to build your walls. Okay, working on them. All right, working on them. All right. So, to understand again, this section of Scripture, how many know, and just again, your history, how many know the book of Malachi, the last Bible of the Old Testament? Malachi was a prophet who spoke during this time of Nehemiah. So, the activities and actions that happened in Nehemiah were the last part, if you will, of the Old Testament before 400 years of silence, broken by the birth of Jesus. We'll be celebrating his birth coming up here soon. But you have, this is the last part of the history of the Old Testament. The city's been overrun. The city's been destroyed. They go into Babylonian captivity. They begin to release people to come back because Cyrus the king declares that we're going to rebuild the temple. So they rebuild the temple. The walls have not yet been built. And another group comes back under Nehemiah and he sees there's a need for greater growth. Anybody see a need for more growth in your life? All right. In us as a church. In us individually. So when you build that strength in your life, it's a determination we make. Now watch. Just hang in here one more point, and then I'm going to go to the Scriptures so we can see a pattern of things that happen. How many have ever had a time in your life where the Holy Spirit has really moved on you, and you know in your heart of hearts, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing. This is what you want me to do. I'm going to do it. Lord, I want to grow. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to change that attitude and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to stand together with others in the body of Christ. You know, you've ever had that moment in your life where you come to a decision, you say, my life's different now. I'm planting a fence here. I'm planting my walls here. I'm going to change and it's going to be different. Come on, have you ever had that kind of time in your life? Maybe during a message or the Spirit of God moves in your life and you know you've got a determination. I'm going to do the will of God. Ever had that time? A man of God one time said, when you get the purpose of God in your heart, hold on to it deep and strong and get it with all your might, because the first thing that's going to happen are tests. Come on, Pastor Kev, can you ever have a message without talking about tests? Come on, give us a break. But it's reality. It's where the rubber hits the road. It's where we live every day. And so when you feel and make a determination before the Lord, you have to prepare yourself for what's going to come. And I want to look at the book of Nehemiah real quickly this morning and understand some of what takes place. So all of this is unfolding 13 years after the return of Ezra. And Nehemiah, as he rebuilds the walls, a couple of framework thoughts, and we'll go on. Nehemiah assigns labor to the people to build the walls right by where they live. That's really important when you read the book of Nehemiah. The Smith family over here builds this portion of the wall right by where they live. The Jones family, and of course we know those weren't their names, but the Jochebed family or whoever they were, they're building right by where they live. The Steins, yeah, right over here by where by the jewelry store, right over here. All right, so the issue is, guys, when you're invested, you do what you need to do to protect your family, to protect the church, whatever. Just talking as a pastor, do you know what's over decades and decades? And I don't want to go this. This is kind of negative, but it's true. The people that get most critical of a church are people that have never served and don't give. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So Nehemiah wisely breaks up the work to be done and gives it to people who are invested right by where they live, that they want to be safe. How many want to be safe in your home with your family? Sure, so right there he wisely breaks up the work so people are invested. Opposition can come from within and without. Okay? So opposition can come from within and without. All right. A pattern for growth. Rise and build. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18. Number one, rise and build. Let's look at a pattern here. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste. He's talking to the people now in Jerusalem. He's gone back. He looked over the walls, saw the problems, and he's talking to them. The gates are burned with fire. Come. Let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. Verse 18. And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, say it with me, church, and boom it out. Let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Something stirred in the people of God. They're hungry for the Lord. They wouldn't be back in Jerusalem if they weren't. They were worshiping at the temple. They're seeing restoration take place. But the building and the walls are decayed, and it's discouraging. Ever get discouraged at the status of the body of Christ? Where we know and still, and sometimes our own attitudes, we know we need to change. And so they're looking at this, and all of a sudden, the winds of the Spirit begin to blow, and something fresh happens, and Nehemiah comes on the scene. He says, God's given me a work to do. Come on, join me in that work. Let's rise up. Let's build. And they go, hey, let's rise up and build. God's going to do something great. But you take a look at these Hebrew words in here. They were in distress. It means bad and evil things were happening to them. They were laid waste. Means the walls and things were parched and literally ruined. They were burned. That means they were set on fire and desolate. They were under reproach, which means they were disgraced. Now, again, spiritualizing this, I don't want to show hands in specific sharing, but has anyone in this room ever in your entire life sinned? I thought I had the right group. I thought I could have the right group. Okay. When you sin, thank God for grace, because we come under the blood of Jesus, we repent, we ask Him to forgive us. But do you realize what sometimes happens in our lives? The devil has nothing good in mind for us, and when we yield to his temptation, that area of our lives, until we repent, is like a burned over place. The fruit of sin is discouraging, and it's just waste. It's evil, it's parched, it's ruined. How many know the death process? Where sin happens, death sets in. And that's why the good news of Jesus is He forgives us of our sins, and we get that reversed. But there's a parched place, a ruined place. And if you've turned your back on the Lord and you've ever walked away from Him for a while, you know what it's like, because you might have a hard attitude and something might be wrong. But inside, come on, unless you're dead, you know that nagging little thing about you need to get right with God. You need to get your heart right with God. You need to get back right with those people. You're all looking at me like I'm crazy, but this is true stuff. So there's something inside that keeps working. That's called the grace of God. So what's the problem? Sin breaks down the walls. We're in the process with these people of being restored to what Jesus wants us to be. But it's going to take some work. Again, we're saved by grace. We grow as we cooperate with Him. So we rise up and build. This is a good work. Come on. Let's do the will of God. Let's build these walls. Put your shoulder to the wheel. I've got something to do. Put your heart into spiritual growth. Don't be apathetic. Don't be casual. But let's rise up and build. All right, it's a good work. Let's do this thing. Let's get to the house of God. There's that psalm where it says, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. He'll teach us of his ways. Those were the psalms of ascent. They were going back to Jerusalem during those several festival times in the year. And they look at each other and say, come on, time to go to God's house. Come on, time to get in there. Time to be taught. Time to learn. Time to grow. Time to change. So we turn to each other on Sunday morning and say, hey, high five. How are you guys doing? Great to be in God's house, isn't it? Let's jump into the river of God. Good job, Dano. Jumping into the river of God here this morning. Let's build the church. Let's be in relationship. Let's refuse to be divided. Let's do this will of God. Let's put our hands to a good work. So we start and we begin the work. We dedicate our lives. We dedicate the work. It's exciting. It's great. It's alive. And something's burning in our spirits. And then what happens? Don't be surprised that when you've made a determination, there is determination's challenge. Come on, say it with me. Determination's challenge. You ever notice? You're going to grow, and all of a sudden, arguments start. Problems come up. The job or the car breaks down. I've just sold out to Jesus. Come on, Lord, I want to do your will with all my heart. How come all of my cars went bad all at once? How come everything happens? And because the devil will do anything he can to hinder and slow down your commitment to Jesus. Come on. Amen. Amen or oh no. The devil will do anything he can to hinder your being sold out to God. Watch this. Chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us. And said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? They laughed. That means they derided them. They despised them. Disesteemed. They disdained them. They put them down. The mocking began as soon as there was determination to rise up and build. Church, and that's how it happens. Stupid things start to come up. Come on, stupid things. Isn't sin stupid? Stupid things, silly things, little things that we become major things. If I'm the only one in the room who's done this, let me just share about it. I didn't read about it in the book. Usually it's stupid stuff in my life that trips me up if I let it. And then the devil jumps on and accuses. Will you rebel against the king? What does that do? What's that all about? Accusation. What does the Bible say? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. You're rotten. You're terrible. You did this. You're despised worthy. And you sit there and go, wait a minute. I didn't do any of that. I'm not rebelling against the king. But what happens when the devil starts throwing accusation? It puts us off our rocker a little bit. Knocks us off our rocker. And we go, well, what did I do? I'm not doing anything. All I want to do is grow. Isn't that interesting? So we see an answer that comes right away. Again, we're seeing a pattern of how to build our walls, a pattern of how to overcome this. The mocking begins as soon as your determination is made. So watch. How was the answer? Verse 20. So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. But you, devil, have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. God is with us, a very present help in trouble. God is my strength. He's my rock. Remember how when all of the soldiers that were on David's team began to be upset at him because there had come an attack against them? Remember, they all said, we're going to stone you, David. How come we're following you? What does the Bible say? When it got right down to it, David had to start encouraging himself in the Lord. Come on, you're right with God. You're washed by the blood of Jesus. You didn't do that. You didn't try to rebel against the king. You're just trying to obey the Lord himself. So get up, keep going, keep going, keep going. Say it together with me. Keep going. So he says to the enemy, you've got no part in this. When the devil comes and throws accusation at you, you need to look at him and say, get out in Jesus' name. You've got no part in this. I'm going on with God. Get out. I won't let you divide us. I won't let you come against me. I won't let this happen in my life, my family's life. So as you turn the devil down, don't be surprised that he hangs on sometimes for a little more trouble. continues. To prosper in the Hebrew means he will push us forward. God will prosper us. God will keep pushing us forward if you yield to him. But trouble continues. You think you've solved it. You put the devil to flight. You resist the devil. He runs from you and you're sold out to him. I'd like to tell you a very simple point. There is no such thing as a trouble-free zone in life. Y'all know that, right? You see the hard hat zones, you see construction zones. There is no trouble-free zone in life. I'd love to say there was, but there's not. And so you make your determination, and gosh, how come all this problem has happened? Because I've sold myself out to the Lord. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. If you're serious about doing business with God, sometimes the hassle continues. But it so happened, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, we went on, we were determined, we kept building. He was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. Furious in the Hebrew means he blazed up with anger and jealousy. He was indignant. Very indignant means he gave them trouble, grief, and rage. He mocked them, derided them. Can you know sometimes, and see, remember, sometimes the scripture reminds us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Sometimes we can listen to the wrong voice. Sometimes somebody else can listen to the wrong voice. And sometimes anger comes lashing out. Come on, you know, and things are said in anger and makes you feel small and like you've really done something wrong. Sometimes people put that on you because it's taken the heat off them to put it on you. And all you're trying to do is obey the Lord. Misunderstandings, problems, throwing wrong thoughts your way, all part of the devil's plan to keep us from growing. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Again, a Bible teacher said, get your direction, get it strong, then hold on to it, because it will be challenged. Every manipulative strategy is in play here. Sanballat's furious, indignant attitudes, mocking, total put down. What's the answer? What's the answer to this kind of thing? Double down. Give it to God. Give it to prayer and say, we stand together as family. We're not going to go that way. I refuse to listen to that voice. I love my family and the Lord. Come on, every eye up here.
Amen.
Every eye up here. I love y'all. Thank you. Turn to each other and say, I love you in the Lord. We're family. And those are the kind of determinations we make. Watch. Nehemiah 4, verses 4 and 6. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads. Give them as a plunder to a land of captivity. So we built the wall. So what does he do? First thing he does, give it to God. And, you know, problems happen, right? Problems happen. We give it to God. And then he says, so we built the wall. We went right on going. We kept right on building. We kept right on serving. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Say it with me, please. For the people had a mind to work. I love that. The people had a mind to work. Hear, O God, turn the reproach on their own heads. Give them as a plunder the captivity. They give it to God. So we built the wall. They said, keep going, keep growing, keep building. Keep watch, point number 4. A pattern of how to see the walls built in our life. Keep watch. Everybody have a watch on this morning? Let me see if you have a watch on. Set your watch. Say it with me. Set your watch. Set your watch. And I'm going to give you a little scripture. Watch and pray. Okay? Watch and pray. Set your watch. So set, watch, work, and pray. Verse 9 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. So they prayed, and they took action. Tangible action plus prayer. If you need to enlist others to stand with you, if you need to call, we've talked about it before, but if we need to call, if you need to call your friends, hey, will you guys please stand with me in prayer? I'm going through some tough times. I don't want to run away. I want to run in and I want to reach out. And if you'll stand with me, I'll appreciate your prayers and know that I'm standing with you. If you're going through tough times, you give me a call. I'll call you. We're going to keep praying each other through this, right? Difficulties happen to all God's people, but we stand together in the family of God.
That's right.
We love each other. We pray for each other. How do you overcome? How do you build walls? You include the others to give you strength. Because remember, when they built the walls, it wasn't just one person building the wall, was it? Every family was involved in rebuilding those walls. Every person had a part to play. Set your watch. Therefore, verse 13, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall, at the openings. And I set people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Verses 16 through 18. So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. They were hanging in there together. Some of the people were working on the walls, and other people were standing guard, setting the watch, having the spears. They were looking out for one another. And that's the picture I want you to have in the family of God. You're each laboring before God, and you've got other people watching out for you. We had a great conversation Wednesday night, Grace Gathering, about angels. How many believe that God has angels of protection for you? You bet. And so you also have angels that are tangible. Look at each other and say, good morning, angel. You've got people who are praying you through and standing with you and helping watch over while you're building, and others are watching over you. Those who built on the wall, verse 17, and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked in construction, with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. People who believe in spiritual and natural preparation, a work to do, walls to build. All while you're engaged and prepared for spiritual warfare. We're not talking natural enemies here. We're talking about defeating the devil who wants to come jumping in through an open wall. You know, just a little aside again, principles in the Lord. You say to yourself, just a little sin's fine. And you know what happens with just a little sin? You just tear down a little bit of your wall. And you know what happens? The devil looks for little openings in walls, so he can secretly begin to make that opening bigger. And that's why we look at each other and say, don't give room for that. That's why the Bible says, make no place for the devil.
That's right.
Don't go to the way of sin. Go the way of strengthening each other and walking with God. Shut the devil. Used to be a song that David and Julianne Koblenz brought back from Uganda. Shut the door, keep out the devil. And it was really a cute song. They all used to sing it. But it was really effective spiritual warfare. Shut the door on the devil. What do we see? There's work to do. The devil wants to divide and separate and keep you from getting the wall built. And they kept going, kept going, kept going. Now, point five. We're talking about a pattern for building the walls. Fear fails. I want you to boom that out with me. Fear fails. Again, fear fails. One more time. Fear fails. Verse 13 of Nehemiah 6. For this reason he was hired. They brought Sanballat and others in to accuse the governor, Nehemiah. Kept bringing accusation. He's spending too much money. And he was accusing him before the people all the time. The Bible says the devil accuses God's people day and night. And so how do we overcome the devil? By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, it says, according to the book of Revelation. But for this reason, this enemy was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have a cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. If the enemy, if the devil can't yell at you, push you around, he'll attempt to create fear and manipulate you. Tell him to get lost in Jesus' name. Come on, say it with me. Get lost in Jesus' name. Fear fails because God is here. God's in charge. The devil's not in charge. God's in charge. You're doing his business. Nehemiah says, I'm doing a great work for God. I cannot come down. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. Say it with me. I am doing a great work for God. I cannot come down. God's the one who gives success. Jesus gives success. Let that be your attitude and mine. I don't have to stop to try to get into the trenches with the devil. Jesus already defeated him. Amen? Jesus already defeated the devil. I just need to walk in His victory. I need to get my mind lined up with His mind and let my word be declaring what He says. And I need to watch my heart and guard my heart. And I need to hang in there with each other, my family and the Lord, and ask for prayer and pray for you. And we stand together and put it all together. Every person working on the walls, we get victory in the Lord. Watch the result of all of this. Nehemiah 6. Verses 15 through 16. So the wall was finished. Come on, say that with me. So the wall was finished. So the wall was what?
Finished.
The wall was what?
Finished.
The wall was what?
Finished.
On the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days, it had sat. Those walls were broken down for at least 50 years with the restoration of people returning. They were broken down nearly over half a century. They just remained broken down. And with the determined effort and with the determination of soul and the hard work they put to it to stand together, each person doing their part, in 52 days, less than 2 months, and it happened, verse 16, well, all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things. They were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. When you cooperate with the Lord, when we do what He wants us to do, and we let the temple be restored, we let the walls be restored, we proclaim His word, we stand together, we do His work, God will bless, the walls will be built, and the devil will be shamed, and his demonic hordes must flee in the name of Jesus as we see that this work will be done by God. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Delight the Lord and stun the devil.
Yes.
Come on, say it with me. Delight God and stun the devil. Say it again. Delight God and stun the devil. Build those walls. And after generations of walls being broken down, within 2 months of determination together, they had new walls surrounding Jerusalem. New protection, new identity, new deliverance, new strength to keep out the devil. And that's how God wants us to walk as we rebuild and build our Christian lives. The temple being filled with His glory, love for Jesus, the walls up being strong. Keep building, church. Keep building. Keep determination. Keep going. Build your walls. Amen?
Amen?
Stand with me, will you? Because God's given the victory. If you're here with us this morning and the Lord has spoken something to your heart, maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, this is your day to do so. Let the temple be opened in your life with Jesus on the throne. If you know you need more strength in building your walls and you've allowed a little broken down place to take place, then repent of sin this morning. If there's anything God's put in your heart, and just thank God for His cleansing blood and His washing clean. And make a fresh determination right along with me that you're going to build the walls by the goodness of God. Right?
Yes.
Say it with me. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
right now today,
I come to you.
Thank you that you're in the temple.
That
you're building the walls.
That
you've got strength. That you've got deliverance. And you are my God. And right now by faith, I repent of sin that keeps me from you. And I receive your good news, your grace, your life, and rebuilding of the walls. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.